This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
I think the question that is on the minds of a lot of people today is, what's going to happen tomorrow? What is going to happen in the future? There are a lot of things going on in our world today to which many of us are unaccustomed. And it does cause one to think about, what's going to happen to my children, my grandchildren? How can we face our future today? Now, I want to talk to you about that today, how to face the future unafraid. I hope that you'll stay tuned. I believe that God will give us a message from His Word today that will embolden us as we face the future. Now, today I want to introduce myself to those of you who may be watching for the very first time. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible, and we're delighted to have you watching today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the fact the course is free, and so we would like for you to have it in order that you might know more about the course, how you can receive the course. We're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
I'm reading now from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love His appearing. Last words are important, aren't they? The last words that you heard from someone that you love that passed away. Those words sometimes will ring in over and over and over in your consciousness. Last words. Some of the last things the Apostle Paul ever wrote were the words that I just read to you from the book of 2 Timothy. He's writing them to Timothy, who was his son in the faith, his companion. And Paul is writing from inside a prison wall. The year was 1976. I was on a tour of the Bible lands, and we went to Rome. And when we went to the city of Rome, our guide took us to a dungeon. As I recall, we had to walk down into the dungeon. I'm sure those steps were put there for the benefit of those who would come to look at it. And they said, this is the dungeon that Paul was in. And I have no idea whether that's actually the dungeon in which Paul found himself when he wrote the book of 2 Timothy. But if it was not the actual dungeon, it was one similar to where he was. And there was no air conditioning. There were no modern conveniences there. Paul was in that prison. And he's thinking about the future. And as he thinks about the future, he takes a real hard look at his life. I want us to think about the picture that Paul painted of his own life. Number one, Paul took a look at the present. He said, I am ready to be offered. I wonder how many of us right now could say that I am ready to be offered. I'm ready to die. Oh, we have an appointment with death. The Hebrews 9:27 tells us it's appointed unto a man once to die. I don't know of anything we can do about that. Strength cannot avail against the warrior called death, or else Samson would not have died. And wisdom cannot outsmart death, or else Solomon, the world's wisest man in the Old Testament, would not have died. And righteousness cannot withstand the onslaught of death, or else Peter and Paul and James and John and hundreds of other righteous people would not have died. A person may exercise, they may take care of their physical body by eating the right kinds of foods. They may try to keep their weight down and things of that sort that will contribute to having a healthy body. But in spite of everything that we do, eventually a man is going to die. Isaiah knocked on Hezekiah's door. Hezekiah was the king. And Isaiah made this startling announcement to King Hezekiah. You need to set your house in order, because you're going to die, you're not going to live any longer. And that was the occasion that when Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed that God would lengthen his life. God heard his prayer and he lengthened his life by some 15 years. Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. I'm looking now at the present. Right now, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you have your books balanced? Do you have your life ready to meet God one day in the judgment? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready? Paul said, I am. I am ready. Then secondly, Paul took a look at the past. He looked at his past, first of all, as a soldier. He said, I have fought a good fight. And the day a person becomes a Christian, they enlist in the Lord's army. The day you become a Christian, you are a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, as a soldier of Christ, was never AWOL or absent without leave. In the last couple of years, maybe 2.5 to 3 years, there are many who at one time would never, ever think about missing worship. But since there has been COVID, they've been absent without leave. Paul was a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He was always at his post of duty. When he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse 12, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You see, to lay hold on eternal life, we've got to be a good soldier in the army of the Lord. And we're fighting a fight of faith. It is a fight for our faith. It is a fight to defend the faith. Unfortunately, some people lose their faith in God. They say, I don't believe in God anymore. We mail out a little magazine or a brochure that's entitled House to House and Heart to Heart. that's mailed out to many thousands upon thousands of people throughout the United States from the Jacksonville Church of Christ in Jacksonville, Alabama. And we mail it to the people who live in the area where I'm living. We received a copy back, and on there they said, "Do not send this to me anymore." And then they had this underneath those words, "God is not real. Jesus is not real." Well, I'm sorry that they felt that way. But you see, we do not surrender our faith in God. We're in the Lord's army. We've got to fight for the faith. And the faith of people is under attack today. Satan is so shrewd. Satan is so crafty. He uses every scheme, every trick in the book to try to destroy the faith of men and women, boys and girls. Unfortunately, he seems to be successful in some areas, but we need to, as soldiers, just to keep on keeping on. And it's not easy to do that. That's the reason Paul told Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." It's not a cakewalk when you become a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not always an easy thing. It's not easy to stand against the wiles of Satan. He wants you. He wants me. He wants every soul. That's the reason Paul said, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." And that's found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. So Satan is like a roaring lion, and we are fighting against him. We are in his territory. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ in rebel territory. And we're fighting as a soldier of the Lord. But how do we fight? How can we win that battle? Paul wrote in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10, beginning, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the tricks of the devil." Satan has a lot of things that he's trying to use today to destroy humankind. But we need to be willing to put on the armor of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. We have on the breastplate of righteousness. Have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In our hand we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. All of the pieces of armor that are described there in Ephesians chapter 6 are to be used to wage this war against Satan. And we're protected if we keep the armor on. Have you ever stopped to think about that armor? Have you ever thought about the figure that is used to describe how we put on that armor? We have our head protected, our chest is protected, our feet are protected. We have the protection with the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith. The only part that is not pictured as being protected is your back. And there is a reason for that. You never ever turn your back on the devil. You fight him head on. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight." So as Paul is looking at his past, he looks at his past as a soldier. And what the Lord needs right now, in the times in which you and I live, are soldiers. He needs foot soldiers who go out every day with the armor on, the Christian armor on, and confront the devil head on. But Paul also looked at his past as an athlete. He said, "I finished the course." And that was under the figure of a person running a race. And Roman games were very common. They would have games where they would run, those games and the like. Well, how do we conduct ourselves as a runner in the Christian race? Unfortunately, some people never finish that course. But Paul said, I have finished the course. You have to run to the end to win the race. You have to keep on keeping on. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing for people to do. When Paul wrote the book of Galatians, he mentioned the fact in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 5 that some had dropped out of the race. He said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And down in verse 9, he said, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So in this race, we get tired, but we can't quit. Back many years ago, I began to run every day, and I did that until I injured my knees by running, and I had to have knee replacements, and I was told not to do that anymore, not to be a runner any longer. But one thing I learned about a runner, and that is you can go until you think you cannot run any longer. I did this many, many times. And then I developed the motto of gentleman Jim Corbett, who was a prize fighter. And his motto when fighting was just one more round. So when I would run and I think I'd gone the last step, I can't go any longer, I would say to myself, just one more round, just one more step. And if you will do that, you'll get to the point, they call it a runner's high. You feel like you could run all day long. You feel like that you could just keep running and running and running. As an athlete in the Lord's service, we cannot ever get to the point that we stop running. We've got to keep on. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run. There's your figure again. That is the figure of an athlete. Let us run with patience. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And we may have to lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It would be a very foolish thing for a person that's going to run to say that what I'm going to do is I'm going to carry a 25-pound weight in my left hand, I'm going to carry a 25-pound weight in my right hand, and I'm going to run as fast as I can. Well, if you want to run as fast as you can, then you need to lay down the weights that are going to retard your progress as an athlete. You can't run with all of that weight. And so there may be sins in our lives that are besetting sins. It may be your temper. It may be you lose your temper. You become angry too quickly. It may be other things in your life that you're going to have to lay aside if you're going to run this race and complete it to the end. And the one who wins is the one who finishes. Paul said, I have finished the course. He didn't stop. Do you think he did not become physically and spiritually exhausted at times? Of course he did. All you have to do is study the life of the great Apostle Paul to realize all that he endured as a soldier and as an athlete of the Lord. Paul became physically exhausted. He became spiritually exhausted at times, maybe emotionally exhausted. But Paul said, I kept the faith. I finished the course. Then thirdly, Paul said, I have kept the faith. Now he's looking at his life in the past as a steward. Well, a steward of what? Steward of the faith. And to talk about the faith is the same as talking about the gospel. He was a steward of the faith. He was a steward of the gospel. One of the interesting things that Paul said about the gospel is in one of the Thessalonian letters where he made this statement that he had been allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Well, one preacher wanted that on his tombstone. That is the words, allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Well, I would think that every Christian was should so live as to so that that might be put on their tombstone. That this person, though not a proclaimer or a public proclaimer of the gospel, what was faithful in as a steward of the gospel, and you were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, and you kept that trust. There's a song that we sometimes sing, and it goes like this: a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save, and fit it for the sky. And we have been charged with the preaching of the gospel. Well, there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said, told Timothy, you need to preach the word. You need to be instant in season and out of season. You need to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So Paul said, I have kept the faith. I've been a good steward of the gospel. And until every lost person on the face of this earth has heard the gospel, we still have a job to do. Sometimes people ask, well, why do you have a television program, Brother Lambert? Because I believe with all of my heart that every person living right now has the God-given right to hear the gospel at least one time before they die. I believe that. Paul said, I have kept the faith. Well, then Paul looked at his life so far as the future was concerned. He said, henceforth. Now, that word is put there for a reason, and it's pointing back because Paul was ready to be offered. And when Paul looked at his life as a soldier and as an athlete and as a steward, Paul said, because of all of that, there is laid up for me, there is laid up for Paul, what Paul? A crown of righteousness. Now that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Be faithful unto death, and you will receive a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Who's going to give it to? Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And that day has reference to the day of judgment. The day of judgment was so much a part of the thinking of people in the first century. They often referred to it not as the day of judgment, which sometimes they did, but they often referred to it as that day. Jesus himself did in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and following. Paul did in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And here he also does in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, refer to the day of judgment as that day. And it will be in that day that those who serve the Lord faithfully to the end and were ready to be offered will receive that crown of righteousness. He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Well, was it just for Paul? Oh, no. He said, and also unto all of them that love his appearing. When we think about Jesus, there's so many things to think about. We think about his birth, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin, not at the Holiday Inn, but he was born of a virgin in a nasty, old, stinky stable. Think about it. The Son of God, the one who created the sun, the moon, and the stars, who holds everything within his power, in the palm of his hand, was born in a stable. And then Jesus Christ lived on this earth a life of poverty, a life of rejection. He had no place even to lay his head. Jesus said, the foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary and died there for the sins of humanity. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's promised to come back someday. It is this Jesus. It is this Jesus that we are to love. The idea that He's coming back someday. You know, the Bible actually closes with a prayer for Him to come back. In the 22nd chapter of Revelation in verse 20, John said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And we need to be praying in these times for the Lord to come. It'd be well for the Lord to come, but as long as there are people that are lost without Jesus and have tender hearts, maybe the Lord will tarry and not come. But that reward will be given unto all of those that love His appearing. What do we have to be afraid of? What do we have to be afraid of if we have been faithful as a soldier of Christ? What do we have to be afraid of if we have finished the course? We have kept the faith. What do we have to be afraid of if we can say right now, "I am ready to be offered"? We have no fear of what may be ahead of us. We don't know what all is ahead of us. I've often said that we do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And the future's in God's hands. That's God's business. I don't even know when Jesus is coming back. I know there's some preachers who think they do, and they think that they can pinpoint the time Jesus is coming back, but the fact of the matter is, nobody knows that. Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus said, "That day and hour knoweth no man." But we have nothing to be afraid of when our books are balanced and our life is right with God. Have you become a Christian? You need to be a believer in Jesus. Jesus said that in John 8:24. You need to be willing to turn from your sins. Jesus said that in Luke chapter 13, verse 3. You need to be willing to acknowledge your faith in Jesus, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And to be saved, Jesus said, if you believe and you're baptized, you'll be saved, Mark 16, 16. I'd urge you to become a Christian today. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. If you've been thinking about your baptism, contact us. We'll assist you in finding some servant of God who will baptize you into Christ. Right now, we want you to pick up the telephone and call for the free Bible correspondence course. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214.